Hello and welcome to Sports Tech Live, the official Hype Sports Innovation podcast, providing all the must-know info on every aspect of the sports tech industry. Today's episode features Steve Schulman, the founder and CEO of Counter 10, a Web 3.0 startup focusing on fan engagement, rewards, and loyalty built on Web 3 tech. Steve joins to share his valuable insights as a successful sports tech founder. You won't want to miss out on this one.
All right, so great to have you today with us, Steve. You know, one of the things I was looking is how can we create a hype, long-standing value to the sport tech startups around the world and, you know, to startups as a whole. And I thought, you know, the best, you know, traditional way is just talk to what I believe are our top successful startups. Yeah. And I would like really to have an open discussion today, and maybe just if you can maybe introduce yourself, and then maybe we can have like an open discussion about your journey.
Sounds great. Thanks. So firstly, Amir, thanks very much for having me on today. I'm excited to be here. As many might know, might not know, my name is Steve Schulman. I'm the founder of Counter 10. And we are a retail promotion, loyalty, and fan engagement platform built on NFT technology. So my background really is, you know, I grew up in South Africa and always loved the idea of innovation. And, you know, I was excited getting into university there, doing electrical engineering and software engineering, that I was, you know, always going to wind up in the US. And that's exactly what I did. Moved to Boston, spent a number of years there, got a little cold with the weather and decided California is the place to be. And unlike most of the people who decided to start working from home offices with the COVID, I started doing that back in 2004. So it's been a long time since I've been in an actual physical office. And I live out here in San Diego, California. And I've been for many years just trying, you know, different entrepreneurial roles. And a lot of that's been on the consulting side. But, you know, back in 2020, got very excited about what's happening in Web3 and NFTs and decided, let me find a little niche in the market there that no one else is doing and jump in and do that. So it's been an exciting ride.
Excellent. So, you know, I'm very, I like the pragmatic approach, and I always, you know, look from the, our startups position, what kind of lesson they can get from Steve in a very short time. And, you know, what stood out when I introduced you to a few sport brands, I saw that you have this, I would say, element of, I would say, being very clear and very precise in the value you present to them. And it's like you've done this for ages, you know, you look like a young guy, I don't know, but I would like maybe the simple way for me, I think, or for you to share this, maybe to share some of the lessons you got from the journey of, you know, creating a startup that is growing, you know, fast and is providing already some, I would say, solutions to top brands.
Absolutely. Yeah. So first and foremost, I'm going to say is, as an entrepreneur, as a founder, I think number one is don't get anything stuck inside your head that cannot be changed. You know, one of the things that we've done is at the beginning, when we looked at the market and saying to ourselves, you know, what is missing currently in the market? What's not being addressed? Where is that magic opportunity? And start working with that. And over the course of time, pretty much every founder and every startup is going to pivot and change as you go. But always looking to see where the opportunity is. Don't just build something for the sake of building it. Find that opportunity in the market, find a problem that's not being solved, and then say, look, if we can come in and solve it in a unique way, in a simple way, that's already the first step to, you know, to success in terms of the journey itself.
So finding a real pain in the market. All right. What's the next one?
Okay. So the next one is, I always like the idea of, you know, don't take too long to get something out there. A lot of people, and I've done this myself in the past with a number of startups that I've tried to get going, is that you kind of imagine that people are only going to care if you've got all the bells and whistles done. But you don't want to take a year, 2, 3 years to build something and then discover that it's not the perfect thing. So get something out in the market quickly. Iterate. I like the lean startup approach very much. and really go out there and say, look, we want to get something, you know, quickly out, see what people think about it, iterate, improve it, maybe change direction slightly, but don't take too long to get something done and expect it to be perfect.
So jump straight away and create something and go out there, even if it's not perfect. You know, in Tel Aviv, they say that if you're not embarrassed by the first prototype you've launched, you probably launched too late. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to tell it to my German partner. He wanted to kill me.
I understand that. Yeah. And it's tough. It is tough to do that. I mean, we went to in early 2021, we went to the NFT LA. And we had a prototype there, and you know, I was demoing it, and like part of me was like keeping fingers crossed, is it going to crash, is it going to work, you know? And after a while, and this kind of goes to what you were saying at the beginning when you're saying like you get used to the pitches, you get used to talking about it, it's just practice. I'd walk around the neighborhood and just pitch to myself and talk about it. How do I answer questions? But what you say is right. It's like, you know, the concept is get it out there. That's something that could embarrass you. It could not work, but it's just the concept, I think, is what people are excited to hear.
How old are you, if I may ask?
I'm not young. I'm 51.
51?
Yep. It's the magic of the Zoom touch up.
I'm makes me shocked. Look younger. I thought maximum 35. What's your secret?
Thank Amazing. You. I appreciate that.
Really? I was talking to a young entrepreneur, but yeah, we are not much difference in the age. Unfortunately for me. But anyway, share with us another lesson.
Sure. So one of the things I think is important is, you know, to think that a company is going to go out into the market and do something that no one else is addressing is aspirational. You know, even if you're first, you've got to think that there's other companies on your heels, other companies that are already out there doing things. So one of the things that I recommend and what we've done with our platform is be meticulous about seeing where other companies have shortcomings, where they're failing, where they're not doing things in an easy way. And then build the product that addresses that in an easy way. You know, so for example, what we've done is, you know, we're in NFTs and Web3, and almost every company has such a complicated way to onboard people. It kind of only appeals to 2 or 3% of the population. So our goal is, hey, if we can make this truly mainstream, we avoid all the issues that we're seeing with other platforms, then we build a product that not only addresses an issue in the market, but does it in a way that's unique. And that creates a great opportunity when you speak to people to say, wow, this is a different way. This is an easier way. And this is what we continuously see, you know, when we speak with people, when they look at our product.
So really overcoming or presenting some values which are outrageous with regards to the competition, yeah?
Well, not even just outrageous, just do things that they're doing wrong, do things right. If they require you to jump through 10 hoops, find a way to get it done in one hoop. And that way people say, oh, I can't even compare the two because this one is so much easier.
Yeah. And how did you really find out what the customer needs? Because to be able to present something which is, I would say, much better to the competition and on, you know, overcoming their shortcomings, you need to understand what they're offering, and you also need to really understand what the needs of the market currently are. How did you do this research?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, so part of that is part of this iterative process that we talk about, getting something out quickly, you know, putting it in front of people, getting their feedback, seeing where the interest lies, seeing which parts of that could be, you know, built up and improved. But, you know, in our case, in most entrepreneurs' cases, there are going to be other platforms out there, and you can get a sense of what that looks like. So, you know, we're obviously in NFTs and Web3, and we look at companies like OpenSea and Magic Eden, and we look at things like, okay, we keep hearing of issues of people, you know, getting their wallet stolen or fraudulent transactions or complications. So that becomes a goal for us to say, well, can we beat that? In any field, you look at something like Airbnb or Uber or any of those types of startups. As an entrepreneur, you say, if I'm going to do something in this space, what is my experience? Especially if you've kind of gone through that and you said, I've taken an Uber, I've stayed in an Airbnb, I loved it, except for this one gigantic problem. If you can find out a way to come up with a startup that solves that problem, you probably realize that there's a lot of other people that have that. But I'd say iterate, talk to a lot of people, and don't be afraid, you know, for that negative feedback, because it'll be very beneficial.
There is a book out, which, you know, you remind me with this conversation. I'm not sure about the name. I think it's $100 million deal or something like this, which talks about giving an outstanding value in a manner that the customer will feel stupid to say, not to say yes. And I think, again, alongside of this, it's really understanding their needs in a manner that when you offer their complete and a holistic solution and you touch all the elements that are important to them, it's such a no-brainer that they just cannot say no.
I was going to say, you know, that's such a valid point. And like, you know, the perfect example is, you know, one of the parts of our platform is that we really allow, you know, brands and sports teams to easily connect with retailers in a way that hasn't really been done before. And, you know, most people aren't thinking about that. Brands always want to create more value for their sponsors and activate at the sponsors. But when we kind of explain to them, you can take this and just, you know, walk into a retail store, scan it, and have an opportunity to drive traffic to a sponsor, it almost like a light goes on and they're like, oh yeah, of course I need this. How can I not have this? And this is exactly what you're saying. Now you put them in a position where it's like, it'll be beneficial, you know, not only beneficial to have this, but it actually could be detrimental not to be able to explore this further because it's a must have for us.
Yeah. Now, last point, which I wanted to touch on was, you know, there is conversations now about the market conditions and the economy and downturn. And again, I'm biased, but I think the appetite as far as the sport brands is crazy. It's like growing all the time. You know, we see them really looking. Maybe it's also about looking for solutions which can help them generate more revenue, like some of the stuff you're doing, and maybe cut costs. But in general, there is a great appetite for innovation. But still, I think in terms of investment, it's slower. Maybe investors are more picky. Maybe it impacts the valuation. How, you know, when you look at the next year, how are you looking at growth? What's your strategy? How is it related to real life?
Yeah. So look, there's a lot to unpack there, and it's really great, great question. And, you know, from our side, you know, I don't think there's any industry that's more being hit in terms of the perception in the market than the crypto. I mean, with things like FTX and, you know, a lot of the rise and falls in NFT values, I think there's a lot of perception, a lot of nervousness from brands. So part of that is understanding as a startup, as a founder, that you've got to present things in a way that de-risks it for the brand. So for us, last year, you know, our kind of one line statement was, yeah, we're an NFT platform for brand engagement. Now we take the word NFT out of there because NFT makes people nervous. So we talk about us being a fan engagement platform that's built on NFT technology. So part of that is the way you word it and the way you speak to people about it. The other side is to understand that, you know, even in the downfalls, this is where the best companies are built. If you look at 2008 and you look at the fallout there, the companies that arose from that, you know, the Ubers and the Airbnbs, this is what's called really a great building opportunity. And I think that there, you know, are a lot of VCs out there that are maybe nervous, but they're also excited to see what's being built. And, you know, actually we're about to explore that. We're just about to start fundraising ourselves at this point for a seed round. So we'll see firsthand what that looks like. But I think part of that is understanding how to put something in the market where the consumer, where the brand is not going to be nervous about it, but they're going to see this as being a viable opportunity to grow as the market starts to come back.
Great. Any last, I would say, advice for young founders now looking at, you know, launching or running with a business and planning this year? Any last advice?
Yeah, I mean, I would say from a founder's point of view, even though you would think this is a terrible time to be working and starting a new idea, it's actually an amazing time because, you know, what we found like in 2020 and 2021, there was so much noise in the market about NFTs, about Web3, and all of that's gone quiet. So now for people who are in the industry, who are building, there's more opportunity to get some oxygen in the room. So those who can build, get things out there, find problems that are not being met and solve those problems. And, you know, I think what's going to happen in the next couple of years, it'll be amazing companies emerging from this.
All right. Steve, thank you very much. And I think I love the tangible, real value there. And I'm sure any entrepreneur can pick few things to take to his startup, to his life. And I want to thank you and wish you continuous growth. And you know, the road is bumpy and challenging, and we all know that this is. But you're a young guy, as we said.
Yes, young at heart, absolutely. Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Amir. I really appreciate being on. And yeah, I just want to wish all the entrepreneurs best of luck. Be steadfast and go out there and get it.
Great stuff. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Amir. Thank you. Thanks so much.
That's it for today's session. Be sure to check out all our previous and future recordings by following us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and more by searching for Hype Sports Innovation. Until next time.